and this is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, 91.9, KTCB Tillamook, 89.5, coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. Hello, Squamish, Seashell, Sydney, of course, Robin and Omaha, and East 66th Street, New York, West 54th, Corona and Long Beach, Lander, Wyoming. And where else are you? Just let me know. I'd love to give you a shout out. Maybe San Jose, Alfredo, Melissa, Annie, Joelle. It is 2:59, and it is time for Arts Live and Local on this day of, well, there were showers. There aren't any now. And is this possible? The prediction was high near 55, and my temperature here says 67. I don't think that can be right. I think that must be in the studio. We'll have to change that. It is a little warm in here. The weather is good. We got enough rain to water the garden, keep the fires out, and brighten the colors. So that's a good thing because there's going to be showers all week. And today, in 1954, was the Brown versus the Board of Education decision. Hopefully you know what that was. Allegedly to desegregate the schools. Take a look at the schools these days and see how successful we've been. But we're still working.
Neither we don't know how long will we sing together. This time next year, we all have a lax watchman. How long? We don't know how long before the roll call. Ask the watchman how long.
How long, watchman, how long?
We don't know.
Some music from a collection of spirituals, folk tales, and children's games. Been in the storm so long on Smithsonian Folkways. Some powerful, powerful music was written and, best of all, was sung by the people together. Yeah. And we are together here in the studio. I am together, and so are you, because you're listening, with three writers. Two of them are local from Manzanita area with the Manzanita Writers Series, and that would be Vera Wildauer and, oh my goodness.
Kathy Hightower.
Of course, Kathy Hightower. Both of them have been on the air numerous times, but not recently, actually. So it's great to see you both here. And our special guest is author Lauren Kessler, who, together with Nancy Miller Gomez, will be presenting at the Hoffman Center in Manzanita at 7 p.m. tomorrow evening. And the name of the piece is Finding Humanity Behind Bars. I was fascinated when I heard about it, and I'm delighted that Lauren was able to come here and talk with us. But meanwhile, I've asked Vera to introduce what's happening. What is the Manzanita Writers Series, and what's happening tomorrow evening? Vera?
The Manzanita Writers Series is something that's been around for 10 years, and the goal is to bring regional Northwest authors to the coast and be able to hear their stories, have them read their latest works, and so forth. This year, we're trying something a little different. After 10 years of featuring one author, we thought it would be great for audiences to hear from two different authors on, with books that might be complementary. And that's the goal with this particular event, for sure.
So, Lauren, did you know Nancy Miller Gomez before?
No, Nancy and I have never met. We have met virtually,
okay.
And we will meet tomorrow.
Okay.
But and our work overlaps in some very important ways.
Very important. So first of all, let me welcome you. This is your first time on KMUN.
That's true.
You've been on radio before, though?
I have.
I could tell because you knew what to do. But welcome because you were a KMUN virgin, but you are no longer, so welcome to the family. So your work sounded fascinating to me. I want to start off by just have you introduce what you're going to do tomorrow night, and then talk about this work that you've been doing for how long in the prisons?
I've been running a writers group for men at Oregon State Penitentiary, which is our state's only maximum security penitentiary. The men are all convicted murderers, and I've been running a writers group for, this is my fourth year running that group.
How did you start then?
Let me mention Nancy, who runs a group in California, and she's a poet, and what comes from her interaction with inmates is poetry, and what comes from my interaction with inmates is nonfiction storytelling.
Do they actually write stories?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
So because you opened that door, I will say very quickly, not only do they write stories, but last year, two of my guys
right.
Placed first and second in the Pen America Prison Writing Contest. This has 5,000 submissions from incarcerated men and women around the country.
Great.
This year, two more of my prisoners.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yes. And one of my guys just became the first inmate ever to get an Oregon Literary Fellowship this year. So, yes, they write.
And yes, and wow, your heart must be so big, so proud.
Absolutely.
How many men do you work with at a time, or do you work individually, or how does that
work? No, I can't work individually the way the whole system operates. I come in twice a month for meetings that are about 3 hours long, and the group itself has stabilized at about 10. Sometimes people aren't there because of other reasons they can't get there, but 10 is about all I can handle in the sense of the amount of revisions everything goes through and the amount of editing that I do. So 10 is our number.
So you start with a group. Or is it, have you been working with the same group for
That's correct.
Year after year? I'm
yes.
just realizing if these are lifers, they are there. So what happens if someone new comes into the prison and wants to get in on it? What do they do?
This is a great question because two of the men that I started with were actually paroled, one about a year ago and one 2 months ago. So we had two spots. So I asked the guys in the group, what do you want to do? Personally, I can handle 10, but we're a group together.
Yes,
and do you
cohesive.
Want more? And what was lovely, I think, about the whole thing was that they have so little power. And so they had the power to say, we want the group to remain. We want the group to get bigger. And they said that they could consider two more people, but they would do what I do in the group, which is I give them a prompt, a one-word prompt, like friendship, hope, dreams, whatever, and they write about it. So they created a prompt for the new for the people who wanted to come in. And then they discussed the writing of those guys and made them come in sort of for an audition, I would
say.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then they chose the two people who came in.
So this is a whole other aspect of this, that they develop the confidence in themselves to be able to judge or critically work with other people as well.
Absolutely. And I knew this, I trusted this because maybe about 6 months ago, the signals got crossed and I was supposed to come in a certain day and I didn't come in, but they didn't know that. Mm-hmm. So they all met, they all got a call pass, they all met in this place, and then they learned that I wasn't coming. So they just gave themselves a prompt and wrote and read out loud. And I thought, okay, well, my work here is done.
Yeah, you can move on. You've done. This is amazing. What inspired you to do this work? What is your background all in writing and literary work, or do you have a degree in psychology, or what's the
I am a writer, mm-hmm. and the kind of writing that and I'm a nonfiction writer, mm-hmm. and I'm a storytelling nonfiction mm-hmm. writer. What I'm most interested in is people and subcultures that are invisible to us, the voiceless. And a way in which I can, from the bottom up, learn about that and either myself report out about it or help people within that group find their voices. So that's been the last, I think, four books that I have written have all been that sort of immersion into a hidden world. And they haven't all been as dark as Maximum Security Prison. The book before this was about professional ballet.
Well, that's a little different.
Different,
who knows?
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's the good part. Were you invited or did you approach the prison? Was there a program already in place? Or
it was tough to get in.
Mm-hmm.
There was not a program. I had, I will just say it was a rocky road to get in. About a year into meandering down a path, I found a corrections officer in the activities section who absolutely believed in the power of storytelling mm-hmm. to transform mm-hmm. lives. It's, we bonded over it, and he has basically made this thing possible.
Wow. It takes an advocate, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. Yeah. So one other thing is, were any of these men who have become your core group, did any of them think of themselves as writers before? And then what happens? It's presented and people raise their hands and said, yeah, I'll go? Or how does...
Well, so the way that I started is that it goes through this club called the Lifers Club, and you have to have a sentence of life with parole or life without parole to be a member of this club. And they have various meetings, and I asked to go to one of their meetings. So there's 70 guys sitting on metal chairs, and I stood in front of them and I said, I believe in the power of story and I think you have stories to tell. I can help you tell those stories. Anybody interested, come over here. And three people came.
Okay.
And then through that and word of mouth, it mm-hmm. grew mm-hmm. to what that was.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Okay, now, deep breath, folks. This is so exciting. Tomorrow night, the book, is this the name of your book, Finding Humanity?
No,
that's the name of the presentation tomorrow.
Yes,
that's what I thought.
Presentation.
So your book is A Grip of Time?
Yes.
When Prison is Your Life. What is, this is the book you're going to read from, or is that what's going to happen tomorrow evening?
So Nancy and I will do a little bit of reading from our work, and it will be, it's billed as a conversation.
Right.
And so we will be, since our work intersects with each other, mm-hmm. and since we've had, I don't know, we've probably had very different and also very similar experiences, so we'll be talking about that, and there'll be ample room for Q&A at the end.
Nice.
But you'll hear bits and pieces from our work as well.
Okay, and I understand that she's been working at Salinas Valley State Prison. Is she also working with lifers or?
No, hers is more of a jail experience. So some of these folks are in there for a shorter duration, certainly shorter than life.
So that's why that's why she's doing poems and you're doing stories.
Sorry. Way to look at it.
I'm sorry. I couldn't resist. I know. That's ridiculous. Okay. How has it, working in this way, changed you? In addition, I'm sure anyone who gets hold of your book, is the book out? It's published.
Yeah, it was. It came out May 1st.
Oh, and congratulations.
And is available.
We're talking now.
Sold.
Wonderful, wonderful. And again, I am talking to Lauren Kessler with A Grip of Time, When Prison Is Your Life. I'm not even going to ask you that. I was going to ask, do you see yourself continuing doing this? Because this is a huge commitment. Now your book is out. What happens? Yeah,
that's a very good question. And it's a question that a guy in my group named Jimmy, who, you know, like those people who wound others, was himself wounded. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be a person to wound him again. So he said and he's 59 or 60. Mm-hmm. He's now 61, but when he said this, I think he was 59. And he said, now that the book is over, because I finished the book more than a year ago, mm-hmm. and I was reading bits to them, and they knew all about it, and they mm-hmm. were contributing to it. And he said, now that the book is over, are you going to leave us, Lauren?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was that voice that, you know, that little boy voice coming out of this grown man, a convicted murderer, grown man. And I said, no. And so it's been now more than a year since I, essentially, if I was just there for the book, mm-hmm. I don't have to be there anymore. Mm-hmm. I will be there as long as the guys are there and as long as the prison lets me in.
Thank you. What an amazing commitment, really. And how has this, or has it, because you said your last book was about ballet, what were your other books? And by the way, did you take ballet when you were a kid?
Yes.
Ooh. Of course. How could I tell? Not just by looking at her, although by looking at her I can tell too, but also because why would you?
Why would I do that?
Although you're not you weren't in jail. I don't know that. I'm not going to ask. So what else, what other topics have you written about?
So I took a job as a minimum wage caregiver at an Alzheimer's facility to try and understand the what kind of life is lived by people who have the disease. Not the pathology of it, not the horrible stories of losing somebody down there, but do people with this disease have a life? And the answer is yes. And I observed that, and I saw the friendships, and I saw the momentary joy when they listened to music and all of that kind of stuff. So that was that. I wrote a book about 21st century teen girl culture and mothering a 21st century teen when you yourself were a 20th century teen.
And that would be autobiographical.
Well, it came out of my interesting relationship with my daughter.
Yes.
But I reported out from that and from the middle school experience to a much larger, I mean, I'm a reporter too. So, and then there was the ballet book, and I joined a ballet company and danced the Nutcracker for two seasons. And then there's this book as well. So the question was, has it changed me?
Yeah.
And the answer is yes. And in ways that I didn't anticipate. And it's also just not a closed story. Like, I was this kind of a person and now I'm changed. It's not that. It's me thinking very hard about this notion of forgiveness, which I've really not thought about that much in my life. Mm-hmm. How much do we believe that people can change?
Mm-hmm.
And how much are we willing to forgive?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think about that when I'm in a room with guys that have all committed aggravated murder, and they didn't murder my family. Yeah. They murdered somebody else's family.
Yeah.
But it has made me think very hard about that. And it has also made me realize that people can change in some very fundamental ways, and that all of us are one really, really bad decision away from doing something mm-hmm. awful mm-hmm. that will have an impact on our lives and other people's lives. And knowing how close we are was a very big lesson for me.
Is that in your book at all?
Well, certainly the notion, I mean, yes and no. I mean, not as I just said it to
right,
you.
Right.
But yes, I work that through
yeah.
in the book.
Yeah, because that is incredibly profound in so many ways, in our behaviors, but also in our views about punishment.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
Which I think is
the title of Nancy Miller.
Excellent segue.
Well, folks, tomorrow, and you're too late for this, but I will mention that Lauren is giving a workshop Saturday morning at Hoffman, I presume, but forget about it because it's full. You should have jumped in on it to begin with.
And always register early.
Well, you know, part of the problem is a lot of people are not up here, especially, are not so aware of what's going on at the Hoffman. How do they get on a list or
right.
where do they go to find out?
Our website is mm-hmm. very complete. All the events and activities and programs are there, and you can register there as well. And you can sign up for our e-newsletter, which we send out every 2 weeks, that gives you the upcoming events. So you're always in the know for all kinds of things, music, visual arts workshops, all kinds of things.
And what is the website?
HoffmanArts.org.
Okay. And the Hoffman Center, of course, where would it be if it's in Manzanita? On Lanita, because there's really only one street in Manzanita. That's not true, but effectively it is for anything going on. I think this is wonderful. It's happening tomorrow evening, and that is 7 p.m. Now, in the past, when you had the Manzanita Writer Series, did you also do an open mic?
Yes, we used to, but because we have two authors, we really want to devote the entire time to them.
Mm-hmm. I was suspicioning that because, you know, unless that'd it goes on until 11
in.
At night, you know. So
yeah.
Tomorrow evening, 7 p.m., get there early, of course. And will there be room for everybody?
Yes.
I mean, the place is bigger than I remember. And I was there a few weeks ago for Kim Stafford. And I went,
yes.
This looks bigger now.
Yes,
so.
Yes, we took out the posts in the middle.
And we remodeled our kitchen a little, so there's more room.
There's more room.
Mm-hmm.
Terrific. It's a sweet space. There's often art in the front room, and you will meet and hear and interact with my guest, Lauren Kessler, who is a nonfiction writer, just published her newest book, A Grip of Time, When Prison Is Your Life. And also Nancy Miller Gomez with her poetry chapbook, Punishment. And again, you can go to HoffmanArts.org and reread anything that we just said. Except if you really want to do it, you'll be able to find our podcast. If you came in somewhere in the middle and you want to say, whoa, this was amazing, I want to hear more. It will be on the KMUN coastradio.org website as well. Thank you so much for coming in. Kathy was very quiet, as she told me she would be, but she'll be back too. Kathy Hightower and Vera Wildauer, I believe, started the Manzanita Writers Series.
Yes.
And have been doing a great job for 10 years. Yeehaw. Wonderful. Good job.
Yeehaw.
Okay. Thanks so much. And Lauren, congratulations again. Thank you for coming, and thank you for doing the work you're doing.
Oh,
terrific.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
You bet. Okay, well, I do have some music from Lorca Cher, who will be playing at the Sou'wester tomorrow evening. That's 8 o'clock. There are two groups playing, Stargazer Lilies and Lorca Cher. Have a listen. Stay tuned. This is KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook. Thanks for being here, folks.
Thank you. grief and praise to the mess we made. Here's to earth and here's to sky. Here's to hope and doubt. Yeah, here's our falling out. Here's the place we learned to hide. Here's to you and me and all we thought we'd be. Here's to holding heads up high.
Lorca Cher playing the Sou'wester tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. Great place. That's in Seaview, by the way. And we have been, I think this is the last, am I right, Kristen? This is the last.
Oh, this is our grand finale of the year up at the college. Our final art show where we're showcasing all the artwork, well, a selection of the artwork, I should say, that the students have done over the past year and going back even the previous year as well.
Okay. Well, this is an annual event, and we have Kristen Schock, who is the full-time, the one and only full-time instructor in the art department at the college, and also in charge of the gallery. Nancy Walsh is here. Hi, Nancy.
Hey.
And Nancy is one of the students. Students are come in all ages, shapes, and sizes, right?
That's right.
I think we were in a pottery class together when she first came.
Yes.
Only she stayed with it. Good for you. And I found out how much time it took, and that was it for me. So, and my third guest is Roger Hayes, who was actually the juror for this show. Is that right, Roger?
That's correct.
So what is
partially correct.
Oh, okay. What does it mean to be the juror?
What does it mean to be a juror?
For this show.
Oh,
no,
for this
not
show.
In general. Just, yeah.
Oh, gee, what a wide question.
What did you have to do?
I had to eliminate a lot of artwork that was probably worth being on the walls.
Oh, that's...
So that's a horrible thing to do, isn't it?
That's hard.
It's always so, so difficult.
Yeah. And did you look at art in all different genres or what?
Well, primarily it was design, photography, black and white work, ceramics, painting, photography. So a lot
printmaking.
Of printmaking, all the gamut of visual art.
And am I allowed to ask? I don't know if there is a methodology, but do you say, okay, well, we can't, I happen to like photography, so it turns out the whole show is photography, or do you sort of try to...
Well, it's a student show, so I think that's difficult because one that you see that, as Kristen said, you have these people who've spent an entire year developing their work, and what you see is a lot of the discipline that goes into that, and you see the methodology of the instructors, which is really, to me, that's the focus of the show because you can see that it's very structured and there's very specific assignments. So people work on those things.
Okay.
And, you know, that's kind of what comes out in a show like that. So, I mean, I guess what I did was pretty arbitrary, but what can you do?
Well, I guess what I'm thinking is supposing that, you know, there's maybe two pieces of pottery that you like and 14 photographs that you like. Is that, do you really have to balance it out some and sort
of? These are all theoretical questions. What do you guys think?
I don't think so, not necessarily, but there's a certain.
I'm sorry, Roger.
No, go ahead.
Well, we do have categories, so that helps. I think that helps our judges balance out because, you know, our judge has to keep in mind.
What kind of categories? What is it?
Well, we have a cat, and it's tricky because we have to kind of some odd things together, but we have drawing, painting, and design. I mean, sorry, drawing, painting, and printmaking as a category.
Okay.
And then we have ceramics as a category, and then we have design and photography, which is kind of an odd category to throw together, but we're trying to balance out.
Okay. That's basically my question.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get at. You don't just look at this mass room of stuff.
And No, not at all.
Yeah, because that would be impossible, actually. So what you started by saying, I think, is a pretty powerful statement, that having to eliminate some of the work that was good enough to be on the walls, but there was only so many walls. And that's...
I have seen college shows where you pretty much go for everything. And I think there's something to be said for that, too.
If you have room.
That would be preferable in some ways.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think we have it. Luckily, we have... Our students are so productive. We do have way more than can possibly fit. And what we typically do is we have open studios. So visitors are invited to come in and to the studios and see a lot of the work that wasn't able to be included in the main.
Okay,
gallery.
Let's tell people, because, they can come in any time. The show is actually up
now. It's up right now.
Yeah. So you can go and see the show. The reception is on Thursday the 23rd. At 6 p.m. this coming Thursday, and I'm thinking many of the students will be there?
Yes.
Probably.
Yes.
Okay, so then when are these studios open for
people?
Well,
actually, for the artwork that we're going to be sharing, it will only be up during the reception. Since the studios are in use, so unfortunately
Correct.
We can't leave it up.
Okay.
So it'll just be for the one night that the artwork will be up.
Okay, so that is
artwork.
Thursday. Right.
But in the gallery, the show will remain up through June 7th.
Right, okay. And is most of the work for sale?
A lot of it's for sale. There's a mix, but a lot of it is for sale. The prices are very, very reasonable, so I'd encourage you to come up and check it out.
Yeah. I can endorse that for sure. So, if you come to my house, you'll find out. So, Nancy, when was it that you came and that we took?
It was 2008.
Oh boy, 11 years ago. So what's kept you coming back to this
class? Love ceramics, and I became involved in the Soup Bowl events in Tillamook and in Astoria.
Oh, there's one
maybe
coming
three
up.
Or 4 years, into taking ceramics classes. So that has kept me going.
You want to give a one sentence? Tell folks what Soup Bowl is.
Soup Bowl events are events for the Women's Resource Center, which is in Tillamook, and for the harbor, which is here in Astoria. And the sale of the bowls allows the ticket holder to have soup and a bowl of their choice, and the proceeds go to these organizations to help people that are going through, some type of abuse and need a place, a harbor.
Mm-hmm. That's the name of it here in Astoria. And actually, the Harbor Soup Bowl is coming up very soon. I don't have the date on me, but...
That would be June 21st.
Okay. Oh, you would know, because you're making making the bowls. Nice. Had you done ceramics before you started here?
Not this type.
Mm-hmm.
No.
But you got hooked.
I got hooked, and then I decided to broaden my horizons and started taking drawing class.
Oh.
And then into painting class, and now I'm thinking about design.
Uh-huh. Good for you.
So,
that's great.
I need something to keep myself busy now that I'm retired.
Well, but you could be digging in the garden instead. Why art?
Because I don't have a garden anymore. I live in a condominium.
Well, you could volunteer in many places in town. What is art? Why? What is so satisfying about ceramics that you've stuck with it this long?
Because it's an expression of maybe inner feelings. It's soothing. It's a place to go and lose yourself in clay. And the same way with drawing and painting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can sit for hours because Kristen has the most delightful assignments for us. And so I can sit for hours and look out at the river and paint.
Well, I'm sure we're now all looking forward to seeing this show. So, Roger, have you ever done ceramics?
A long, long time ago.
Oh, okay.
Like 1978, I think.
So your predominant art form is?
You tell me. I guess right now it's video, but...
Okay. And painting. You can catch Roger's work. And he's also a musician and a few other things. Right now he's a chef as well. So this is the wonderful town of Astoria, Clatsop County, where we wear different hats at different times and share our knowledge and our talents. So I'm looking forward. The show, again, is up. It's at the Royal Nebraska Gallery at Clatsop Community College. And that would be, do you have an address or just, it's on Lexington?
On Lexington. Our official address is 1799. It's posted on the side of the building. You can't miss it. Just at the very end. So, after you turn up the hill, turn left on Lexington, and we're at the very top.
And there's plenty of parking in the area, which is quite something in this town. Yeah. That's kind of unusual. As I say, the show is up, but the reception... And the reception is this coming Thursday, starting at 6 o'clock. And there's always goodies for eats and drinks. It gets crowded in there during the receptions, though. So if you are in the neighborhood, it would be great to go and have a look now. I don't know whether they're doing pre-sales, probably.
Oh, everything's up, yes.
Okay, I'll be there. Okay. Thanks so much for coming
in. Thanks, Carol.
Kristen Schock, Nancy Walsh, and juror Roger Hayes.
I'll never live that down.
That's right. Okay, folks, we have a few more guests coming in, and right now I have a piece of music from the Maggie Kitson Band. The band plays in Cannon Beach regularly, but I wanted to play it especially now because the Nehalem Bay Winery Blues Festival is coming up next week, and... next weekend, not this weekend, and they will be making music. Enjoy.
He keeps on
Oh, yeah. That's Maggie Kitson, Maggie Kitson Band. You'll hear more from them next week and then the Blues Festival, and you can catch them in Cannon Beach. So, for something entirely different, I have clarinetist. Well, that's one of her hats. This is her professional musician hat, clarinetist Jennifer Crockett. The name may be familiar because she's also the executive director of the Liberty Theater. But this time she is here with the Portland Chamber Music, and they are doing a concert this Sunday on the 19th at Grace Episcopal Church. That's 1545 Franklin, which is a wonderful place for chamber music.
Oh, it's excellent.
Yeah, it's the perfect perfect venue. So who is the Portland, what is Portland Chamber Music?
We are a nonprofit chamber music ensemble in Portland. I still go out there and rehearse every week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Our founder is an operatic soprano. And we kind of have a wide variety of musicians, and we do some of our own arrangements. We perform classical pieces, new music. Sunday's show is all American composers from the mid-1900s to current, with an emphasis over half the program was written by African-American composers.
Oh, wow. Neat.
Yeah, so we've got some really great stuff on the program.
So who... How many people are there? It looked like you have two cellos.
Yeah.
Is that...
it's Portland. Everyone plays cello.
That's
in Portland.
That's true. The Portland Cello Project. Yeah. I know. That's funny.
Yeah.
I love the cello, but I was kind of surprised to see it. I'm used to it.
We make them fight over their parts.
Oh, lovely. That's nice, Jennifer.
Yeah.
So what else? What other instrumentation? You're on clarinet, of course.
Yep, I'm on clarinet, and I'm playing bass clarinet for this performance as well. Okay. We have a flutist, we have violin, we have a pianist, we have our soprano. We kind of bring in musicians as we need them according to the arrangements.
Really? Okay.
Our flutist is also a very talented arranger, so we do some larger ensemble pieces as well.
How long has the group been together?
This is my third season with them. I believe they've been around about 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah, it's a great group. Our mission is to increase access to music. So our concerts are always free. We're supported by foundations. We perform in neighborhood centers, churches, community centers, retirement centers. We did a performance at a prison in Washington a few months ago, which was amazing, life-changing performance. And
life-changing for the musicians.
I mean, the prisoners obviously were really, really appreciative to have us. But
had you done that before?
I hadn't. And, you know, in my family, I had a relative that struggled with addiction that was in the same spot that many of those prisoners were in. And so for me, it was really powerful to be on the other side of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, nice. Well, yeah. My first guest was Lauren Kessler, who's just published her book.
Yeah.
But she's working also in writing, in the arts, and what a change that can make in people's lives.
Oh, absolutely.
As well as the presenters, as you're saying. So,
yeah.
So this is now Portland Chamber Music. Do you come every year? Is that it once a year or five times a year? Or how does this
work? We come out to Astoria once a year because I live here.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. That's excellent. It is Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m. at Grace Episcopal Church, 1545 Franklin. Is it in the sanctuary? Or?
Yes.
Oh, that's...
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
The acoustics in there are amazing, and the congregation and the church are so welcoming to us.
Yeah.
So we love
very
doing
nice.
It.
Downstairs is where we used to have our annual meetings, KMUN, and also there's usually an art show on the walls, which is really quite wonderful. So, yeah, well, there's so much going on this weekend. You'll find out with my next guests as well. But in the music world, I do want to make sure to mention that the North Coast Chorale is doing a concert tonight at the Performing Arts Center, that's 16th and Franklin, and they are singing Songs of the Earth. And I know that Janet Bowler is playing the flute for that as well. And then they're doing a second, and other musicians, as well as Roger Dorban's photographs being projected. And then they are repeating the concert Sunday at 3 o'clock. These venues are across the street from one another. but I know what I'm going to be doing. And you do want to know. Okay, then I'll tell you. I'm going to the PAC tonight for the North Coast Chorale, 7 o'clock. And then on Sunday, I will be at the Grace Church for the Portland Chamber Music. And there's lots more going on as well. But just thought you might like to know. Jennifer, thank you so much, not only
for
coming in, but also for bringing Portland Chamber Music to Astoria.
It's the easiest commute. I'll just walk two blocks down to the church. It's great.
Hey, you deserve it. If you go there to rehearse all the time, then you definitely deserve to have them come here. I do have some music that I'm putting on for you. Is this some... Trio in Red? Is that what I'm hearing?
It's David Schifrin.
Oh, this is David.
Yeah, who played at the theater a few weeks ago. And this is Copeland. And we'll be doing some Copeland on Sunday.
Because it's David Schifrin and friends.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you. Thank you.
Right. Stay tuned. I've got a bunch of guests wearing very bright, colorful shirts. They'll be right with you. Some music from the Portland Chamber Music. And again, that is on Sunday. And right now, I have something, again, entirely different. And this is, I have three, well, I'm not sure whether they are the thespians or the crew or what, but they're wearing these fabulous, wonderful, I love those. I might have to, are you selling those?
Oh, no. Unfortunately, not. Oh. They're just the passing crew members. I know. I'm sorry, Carol.
That's not nice. They're gorgeous. It says Willy Wonka, the musical, Astoria High School, golden ticket. Oh, I see. So you guys are the golden tickets yourselves, not just the story. From Astoria High School, Catherine Lacaz is the one who just told us that they're not sharing with us. Thank you very much. And she is, well, are you the...
I'm the director.
The yes. director. Do you work at the high school in addition to that, or is it just for theater? Or,
it's just theater. Yeah, I'm contracted through the district just to be the theater director.
Not just, but yes, to be the theater director. Yeah. Okay. And then because you do theater in other places too, I was looking at the little children doing Sherlock Holmes. I still have those photos, which was great fun. So I am going to ask these beautifully attired and very attractive young people to introduce themselves, and because I don't recognize any of them. which is always fun to meet new people. So let me start with my left, your right.
I am Zachary Larson. I'm a senior at Astoria High School. And in the play, my role is Mr. Willy Wonka himself.
Well, how do you like that? Well, you'll have to give us a brief summary of that, too. And you are?
My name's Isabel Williams. I'm also a senior at Astoria High School. And my role is Grandpa Joe, who is the grandfather of Charlie.
Okay. Funny you should mention it, Isabel. You're not grandma, you're grandpa.
I'm grandpa, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a good transition. Way to go. It's theater after all. And?
Hi, I'm Cody LaChica, and I'm also a senior this year, and I'm playing Charlie Bucket.
Cody?
LaChica.
LaChica. And you are also a senior, and this is fantastic. Three seniors. So can someone give me very briefly, because a lot of people have heard of Willy Wonka, and it's got to do with chocolate, so it has to be good. What's the story? Oh, we have an appreciative audience.
Yeah, well, the story is basically Willy Wonka, who's this mysterious candy genius, owns this big factory that closed down many years ago, and he decides to give five children golden tickets. He delivers them in little candy bars so that they can come and tour the factory. So it's basically the story of little Charlie Bucket, who is kind of down on his luck, and he gets a golden ticket, and he gets to go tour the factory.
Oh, and does it change his life?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, in a big way. I won't spoil it.
Okay. That sounds wonderful. So you're Mr. Wonka? Are you now?
Yes.
Are you the good guy then, or are you the bad guy?
So it kind of depends how you look at it. I consider myself a good guy.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I am.
That's what they all
candy.
Say.
Exactly. And I do end up giving the kids what they deserve. So technically,
this
you
is
know,
not
I'm a good
sounding
guy.
Good. This is not
but
sounding.
But I also play the candy man who sells candy to kids, who's really happy and energetic. So, you know, I get to play both roles.
Okay, now this candy, is it all chocolate?
Yes, it's all
chocolate.
Okay,
well, then it's okay, because I'm not into candy, except chocolate is the world.
Mm-hmm.
And how about you, Cody? Introduce yourself and what you're doing in this show.
So as Charlie, I play this 12-year-old boy who's excited about life. His family is very poor, and really, this golden ticket changes his life. He's able to tour the factory, see all sorts of candy, just meet all these different characters and play with them and interact. And for him, Willy Wonka is like his role model. Like he's the ideal individual.
Oh.
And it's amazing.
That's a big responsibility, Willy. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
So how many folks in the cast?
We have 28.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's middle school and high schoolers, actually.
Oh,
so for our
nice.
High school production in the spring, we open it to middle school students.
Lovely. That's a good idea since you've got three seniors who are leaving.
I know.
So you better bring in the next generation.
Exactly.
What are you folks doing next year? Do you know?
Well, I am going to be attending Pacific University to study journalism, but I've actually gotten a theater scholarship at Pacific, so
wow.
I'll be able to continue my theater career there.
Fabulous.
Yeah, I'm super
Congratulations.
Excited. Congratulations. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. How about you, Zach?
So I will be attending Brigham Young University and studying either, I haven't completely decided yet, it's either going to be computer engineering or basically the exact opposite, music education. Haven't really decided.
I'm going to vote for that. Also, I'll tell you, BYU has a great folk dance group. So
okay.
That's all I'll say. Check it out. And Cody, what are your plans?
After high school, I plan on staying here at Clatsop Community College and receiving my associate transfer degree in business administration.
Okay. What a group. Do you have more seniors in this in the play
Absolutely.
As well.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Well, Astoria High School has always had good theater. Jenny Newton, of course, for years put that together, and I'm so glad, Catherine, that you've stepped into that. And I know there have been people in between, but it's wonderful to just keep it going. Now, that's my point of view. Why do you folks like to be involved in theater?
So I really enjoy theater because it's something that you can't really experience elsewhere. When I'm a musician myself, and through performing, there is that aspect of performance, but you don't really feel it until you're playing a character on stage. And my favorites are musicals because I get to sing and dance on stage as well.
Nice, nice.
But I think for me at least, it's just this element of fun that you really can't experience elsewhere.
Is it because you're a different character from who you really are? Or?
Yeah, so I think some of it is definitely trying to become the character that you're supposed to be to play on stage, mm-hmm. and then try to almost convince the audience that you are this character, mm-hmm. because a lot of the people that go are friends and they all know me, so trying to flip it around and see mm-hmm. me as a different person almost mm-hmm. is something that I quite enjoy.
Well, you're lucky because Cody over here is going to show everybody what a great guy you are. Isn't that right, Cody? That's your job, is to show. What's special about theater for you, Cody?
So this is actually my first production. And
really? Congratulations. Yes. How lovely.
Thank you. Initially, I was not in theater. I've never been involved. But what really piqued my curiosity was I saw how much fun people had. My first production I saw at the high school was Mary Poppins. Mm-hmm. And seeing all the characters interact with each other, I just thought, like, they have genuine love for each other. Mm-hmm. Like, they are happy. They're full of joy. I want to be filled with joy. I want to do that. So I decided this year I got to do it. And so I auditioned.
So, okay, we won't tell anybody, but did it work? Did you feel close to the whole group there?
Yes. I love all the people that I perform with, and off stage and on stage.
Great.
So I'm kind of sad that it's coming to an end, but I'm excited.
But you're staying in Astoria, and there is theater going on here, a lot of it.
Yes.
So you'll be able to get involved. I was just in a production of Snow White, and there were a couple of newbies in that, and they both said something similar. And these are older adults. And they said how wonderful it was to become part of this theater family, basically, and communication. So lovely. Isabel, what's in it for you?
Well, I think theater has always, for me, been about perspective. You get to take on this new character and see the world through their eyes. And to me, that's just a learning opportunity to draw off of all of these different characters and how they see the world and how they're perceived. So I think that that's just been a really big learning experience for me.
Well, and apparently you've been doing it for a while.
Yeah.
If you're getting a theater scholarship.
Sure. Yeah, I've been doing theater since, I think, the third grade. So
nice.
It's been
here in Astoria, or did you move here?
I moved here from Georgia, actually, a few years ago, and I did theater there, and I'm also doing theater here.
Funny you don't sound Georgian.
It's a conscious effort. I always tell people that I either get Southern around my family or if I get upset. So.
Okay. But that's a handy thing to have.
That's
someplace,
true.
Too.
That's true.
That's great. And Catherine, thank you and congratulations. What's in it for you?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, honestly, it's just a privilege. There are any other occasions in my life where when I am in that environment, like I am at the high school working with the students, where I feel quite as fulfilled and satisfied, and that they bring me so much joy. And I hope that they have fun as well. And, you know, I hope I can bring them something. And I just love getting to see their talent and bring it all together.
Well, and you yourself have been on stage as well. I think the first time you came to this show is you were doing that trio's Shakespeare thing.
Yes, yeah. The complete
Shakespeare
works
in 2 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that was a few years ago, but mm-hmm. Here you are. I'm delighted because you work with our community children and young adults and bring magic. So break your legs. No, wait. Break a leg. not all of them. Have a great show. Let's tell folks, this is at Astoria High School. It opens tonight at 7 p.m. And get there a little early. Get your ticket. Get your seat. It's a huge theater, but you're going to be sitting way up front tonight and tomorrow night. And then next week, Friday and Saturday. And the time is 7 p.m. at Astoria High School. It is so fun there. But do sit up close. You'll want to be able to hear better that way.